Hello. Can everyone hear me? Yes, well, welcome everyone. Thank you all again for joining me this week. I just have a couple announcements. I'll be having a retreat coming up here in Durango, Colorado on the 17th through the 19th, and I invite you all to come and join us if you can. It'll be a wonderful time for us to connect together, to deepen, to open together to this truth of your nature. Also, if any of you will be in the Cincinnati area, I will be giving a talk on the first Saturday in August. I believe it's the 4th at 1 p.m. There'll be details on my website about that in the next couple days. So anyways, beyond that, I want to thank you all for joining me. I did receive very, very many emails this week, and so I'd like to get to those emails. But of course, whoever's present right now, you know, if you have a question, I invite you to bring it forward, whether in a text format or if you're would like to ask for the mic, and then you can just ask me the question directly. We can meet in that way. For those of you who have been sending in emails, I appreciate it if you send me very short emails. And so sometimes people give me all these details, and I get a little bit lost in the details, and it's hard to get clear about what the question is. And so it is one of the great teachings that my teacher Ajahn gave me was this spiritual practice of becoming very succinct with what your question is. So really spending some time. And so if you find yourself, you know, having all kinds of thoughts in your head about what you're experiencing, there's this wonderful practice that you can do, is where you can put it all down on paper and then look at this and say, what is actually my question? What is it that I'm actually struggling with? And so you can play with it on paper in a little notebook or your journal. You can also just stand back and look at what's going on, the contents of your mind, the contents of your energetic experience, the contents of your emotional world, and see, what is my question? What is it that I'm struggling with here? You know, there were so many times when I thought I had so many questions for my teacher, and then I would sit down before him and just all questions would fall away. And he would look at me and he'd say, "Okay, Craig, what is it you would like to speak with me about?" And I would go blank and I would feel a little silly, and it just seemed like in his presence, you know, all the nonsense in my mind, all the emotions in my mind had just fallen away. And this was the beauty was that I experienced through working with a master. He was an individual who loved me so much. He had absolute unconditional love for me. And it was so beautiful to sit with him and in his presence, so much would fall away. And then when I would leave his presence, then it was my job to integrate, my job to join him in the truth, my job to say, okay, what did I learn in his presence? What did I experience in his presence? And then can I take that home? Can I work on that? Because no teacher can do your work for you. A teacher can help open you to the truth, can point you in the direction, can help you even have the energetic experience of it. And so often when I met with my teacher, he he would show me things that were years ahead in my future. And then, of course, I had to grow into those new levels of divinity, those new levels of spiritual awakening. And so, yes, it's a beautiful thing when we're willing to simply open our heart fully and experience this transmission of grace, to experience this love. But of course, in order to experience this, we have to be humble. We have to be so humble. Because if we show up with a teacher with a preconceived idea of how it should go, how she should interact with us, if we think that we know better than the teacher, then we don't get the transmission. We get the transmission. And so, yes, I see my good friend Tony. He came into the room here. Hi, Tony. And so Tony is this wonderful individual with a big, big heart. And so I was on retreat at Amma's, and I sat down next to Tony. And Tony said hello, and we started to talk a little bit. And within a couple moments, I saw this beauty in his heart, this gentleness and this innocence. And it was funny because we were just talking, about random stuff, everyday, practical stuff, first chakra kind of stuff. But because he had a big heart that was open, and because I had a big heart that was open, right away we had this deep intuitive connection. And so then it was easy for this love to develop, this friendship to develop. And see, this is what can happen in life. This is what's possible in life. If we choose to live in a way where we let go of all the thoughts, all the preconceived ideas, all the agendas, and just sit down and look another in the eye and feel their divinity, experience their divinity, it's such a beautiful thing when you can do this. When we can meet in this way. And so this is the invitation here in Satsang, is for us to come together with open hearts, open minds, no ideas, no agenda, no wanting this or that. And as we open, we are opening ourselves to each other, and we're opening ourselves to God, saying, Lord, you come into me, you bless me. You fill me with your light, fill me with your love. Help lift this confusion and this these veils of chaos from my consciousness. You see, when we're humble, then we can have this direct contact with grace. When we're humble, it's easy to open into vast, spacious awareness. Well, this weekend I went over to Telluride, and I took my wife and my youngest daughter, and we went camping. And for those of you who don't know, Telluride is an incredibly beautiful valley in Colorado that has these just gigantic peaks on all sides. And so there was a yoga festival, and I normally go to it every year. And so they had an outdoor class, and there was just stunning views. This huge valley, and you could feel the hugeness, the spaciousness, absolute sense of freedom. And then, of course, this wonderful sense of aliveness and divinity is quite wonderful to practice in such a beautiful place. But as we were practicing, I noticed that off in the distance there was these contraptions. They were like it was like a giant tripod, and they would have this. It's like a flowing. I'm gonna call it a scarf, but that's not the right word. But it's like this scarf you wrap your body in, and you can twist and do aerial acrobatic yogic moves. And I thought, well, here's a way to make peace, to make, opening your heart. Here's a way to make the spiritual path incredibly complicated. Hang from some tripod contraption and spin around in circles and do flips and this and that and, back bends and get into different supported yoga poses. And of course, the people who are doing it, I'm sure they were having a lovely time, or they were feeling absolutely confused. And so, but the idea with this, with the true spiritual path, let it be easy. Let it be inclusive. Let it be integrated into your practical daily life. If we need a lot of contraptions to get into a state of peace, we're probably overcomplicating things. And that's one of the things that the mind tends to do, is it tends to overly contemplate things. And so we had this, this funny experience. We were having, we were doing yoga, and the teacher was very serious about alignment and very serious about, how our hands had to be spread during downward dog. And inward, I just let go of all the instructions and just felt the warmth of the sun on my body, the breeze in the air. I felt the hugeness of the valley. This is what's true. This is what the spiritual path is truly about. It's not about alignment. It's not about posture. It's not about spinning yourself in some silly aerial acrobatics. It's about opening your heart right here, right now, to this moment. And so whether you're in pain, whether you're struggling, or whether you're sitting on a mountaintop and it's the most incredible view you could ever imagine, the path is about opening. Open, open, open. Let go into the truth. Let go into the immensity that's here right now. Right now. And so after after we did our yoga practice and we got up and we ran around town, and then afterwards in the evening, there was kirtan, so it's like the singing of the divine names, the bhajans, the call and response. And so, people were singing and dancing, and then afterwards the singer, he had everyone sit in silence, just sit in meditation. And so people were feeling all this, this alive, radiant, blissful energy that was generated through chanting the holy names. And my little girl, she was running around. And my daughter, she's 4, and she's about as wild as they come. And so she ran into the hall, the music hall, where everyone was meditating, and it was just people were sitting in the supreme state of silence. And she ran in there and she just yelled at the top of her lungs, "Wake up!" "Wake up!" to everyone. And then everyone laughed, everyone smiled, and it was beautiful to see that. It was beautiful to experience that. Yeah, they felt her innocence. They experienced her innocence. And it was like in that moment, God used her. God used her to speak the truth. Everyone Wake up. Wake up to the beauty of this moment. Wake up to the pristine innocence of my voice. You know, that's what she was saying. It's this 4-year-old little girl running into the meditation hall. It would have been something that, you know, I probably could have told her to say that, but I didn't. You know, I was sitting quietly. And she just ran in there. It wasn't planned. There was no agenda. And God used her. And see, when our heart is open like a child, you know, this grace just flows through us. And we experience the joy, the immediacy, the wonder of this moment. The wonder of this moment. And so it was beautiful, so beautiful to see everyone was receptive. And so I do hope, you know, during these meetings that we are here not for philosophy, but that we are here, we are joining, we are communing together with open hearts. So we feel our feet. We feel our feet on the floor, rooted in the earth, rooted on the ground. We feel our butt in the chair and the cushion. We notice the pelvis. You know, the first chakra open and relaxed. We're taking deep, full belly breaths into the hara. We're relaxing. We're letting go in the solar plexus. This is where the human, the egoic will is. It's one of the great seats of will. And so we are opening and letting go in the solar plexus. And of course, our heart is open, it's active, it's saying yes to life, yes to this moment. Yes to this moment, we're choosing to be here fully, to hear the sound of my voice, to hear the sound of your breath. To feel your body, to notice what is it that's happening in me? What do you feel? What do you experience? What do you notice? Is there anywhere where you need to let go? Is there anywhere where you need to relax? You know, is it possible that you need to smile and not take life so seriously? My God, don't we all take life so seriously? Oh, can we open our throat chakra and allow there to be this conduit from our heart up through the throat, through the space, you know, the vast open space of the third eye? Can we open the crown and keep this channel open to God and say, yes, I want your support. I want your love. I'm willing to receive this greater transmission. I'm willing to receive a love greater than that which I could imagine. I'm willing to receive a peace greater than that which I could imagine. I'm willing to let go of my struggle, Lord, and give it to you. Give it back to life. My daughter, my wife, and I—we rode. Telluride has a gondola, and so that's like a big enclosed ski lift. And so we rode it to the top of the mountain. And when you get to the top, and then it's like the sky gets even bigger, the mountains get even bigger, the space gets even bigger. And when you're standing on top of a mountain, it's easy to let go. It's easy to let go of your struggles. It's easy because you see, oh, these struggles are small. And when you look out, into nature and you can see, the layers of rocks, millions of years of evolution before your eyes. It's easy to let go. It puts things into perspective. And so I encourage you to join me in this moment, in the timeless, eternal presence of your own being, in your absolute holiness, in your absolute holiness. Tony, you are a holy man. Brooke, you are a goddess. Dawn, you are an angel of light. Suzanne, your heart is so brilliant, so beautiful. Can you open yourself? Can you open yourself to your truth? Adrian, you have a heart of gold, my friend. A heart of gold. When I sit with you all, I'm touched by your beauty. I'm flooded by your beauty. I'm blessed by your beauty. And so, can you open to your truth? Can you open to your divinity? Can you open to the hugeness of what you are? The hugeness of what you are. And say, yes, I am good. Dale, can you look in your own heart and say, yes, I am good. I am good. I am beautiful. I am divine. Michelle, as this Kundalini explodes through your consciousness, can you jump in and say, yes, I am a being of light. I'm a goddess. I'm going to let go into my own truth. I'm going to let go into that which is greater. And see, this is the invitation. This is what the spiritual path is about. It's not for you to go anywhere. It's for you to explore your own divinity. That's what this path is about. It's about you opening to your divinity. It's about you falling in love with you, not in some silly, narcissistic kind of way. It's for you to look inside and see that what's here is good. What's here is divine. What's here is beautiful. What's here is innocent. Absolutely innocent. And so when we were driving home from a weekend of yoga, my little girl, she was a little bit fried. She was exhausted. She was overwhelmed. She had trouble. It was like time for her to take a nap, and she couldn't calm down. And so as we were driving over these mountain passes, she was, having some fits and, telling us how upset she was. And so I reach around, I give her my hand, and I say, sweetie, it's okay. It's okay. And her mom reached around and said, what do you need? What do you need? And see, what a supreme act of love. Isn't this the ultimate yoga? To ask a child, what do you need? How can I help you? You know, so many of us, we have this internal voice where we're yelling at each other. We're yelling at ourselves, we're yelling at each other. And we have this internal critic, you know, fighting and arguing. You know, I'm a part of a spiritual teacher's ethics group. And so there's all these voices on, you know, what, you know, trying to compete to see, you know, what will make it into our code of ethics. But we have to be careful that we don't take ourselves too seriously, or we hold on to our beliefs too tightly. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to hear each other. We have to be willing to let go. But of course, we don't compromise the truth. We never compromise our truth. And so this is a great skill of being willing to be open, be willing to listen, and to not compromise the truth. Now, what most people think the truth is what their opinion is. They think that their opinion is the absolute truth. And a lot of couples, they get into this where they, you know, they argue thinking, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. And what we really need is just to listen, just to hear, just to love each other. And what we find is when we listen and when we open our hearts and we look the other in the eye, what we find is we all want the same thing. We all want to open our hearts to peace. We want to know this peace in us and as us. This is what we want. We want to know our hearts as big, open, loving presence. We want our bodies to be relaxed and at ease. And so it's a tremendous act of love to take good care of yourself, to listen to your body. The other day, I have an ongoing bad back, you know. So the other day, I found myself in a chiropractor's office, and you know, I laid down on her table, and immediately, just you know, as soon as she, you know, put hands on my head, like immediately I started crying, and she said, like, hey, I haven't even adjusted you yet. And you know, my body was just telling her, I need this. I need this moment. I've been working too much. I've been seeing too many people. You know, I'm involved in, you know, too many different groups, you know, running here and running there. And my body was telling me it's time to let go. Time to let go. Sometimes I take on other people's suffering a little bit. And so at the end of the week, you know, my body was in pain, and I threw my back out. And so then she cracked my neck, you know, in a good way, the way a chiropractor's supposed to. And then these tears came, and then this tremendous laughter came, and all this energy, and you know, tremendous amounts of kundalini were flowing through my spine. And she looked at me, she said, my God, are you okay? And I said, oh yes, I'm wonderful. The body just needs to release. The body needs to release. And so one of the most loving things we can do is to take good care of this body. When we take good care of the body, when we practice yoga, when we go on walks, when we exercise, when we eat good food, when we take the time to meditate, then the mind is naturally empty. But if we're busy running here and there, we agitate the mind, we agitate our consciousness. You know, Walt Whitman, he used to speak about this great spiritual practice called called loafing. And so loafing is, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, when you lay around and you just look at the sky, you look at the clouds, you lay in the grass, you hold your child or your dog, you go sit at the beach and just listen to the sound of the waves. We need this. The whole world needs this. When you lay around and loaf a little bit, you know, I'm not talking, you know, for, you know, 24/7, but when you lay around and just unplug from everything, and I'm not talking about spacing out on Instagram or scrolling through Facebook, but put the phone down and simply look at the sky. Look at the mountains. Watch the trees blow in the wind. And notice, oh, there's something awake here. There's something quiet and innocent here. There's something absolutely, absolutely free. Right here, right now. And so when you give yourself permission to do nothing, no phone, but to do nothing and simply listen to the sound of the breeze. What you begin to notice is your consciousness is naturally awake. It's naturally spacious. There's room here. Room here for everything. Room for the hugeness of your divinity. There's also room for pain or sadness or heartache. Well, I got up early this morning and I went for a little walk. We were camped by this gigantic bowl of a mountain, so it was like a huge valley we were in. And there was a couple little lakes at the base of this bowl. And so I walked around one and then the other. I went and I sat down. I sat to meditate and I began to realize that, oh, there was a little bit of sadness in me. I said, what is this about? And I felt into my family and I noticed that my teenage daughter, she was having a little bit of a hard time this last week. And I felt her pain. And so I just breathed in and breathed out. Just breathed in and breathed out. You know, invited God to bless her. Invited the angels to bless her. You know, in Buddhism, they call this practice the Tonglin practice, where you're breathing in and breathing out. And breathing in suffering and breathing out peace, sending it in her direction. And later in the day, I called her and I said, sweetie, how are you doing? She said, oh, feeling much better, feeling much better. And I just smiled inside and just felt good that she was feeling better. And see, this is what our world needs. It's for us to breathe and send peace, send love to those who are struggling. And if we are struggling, to breathe into our own pain, to breathe into it, and to say, yes, I see you. What do you need? How can I help you? And so you take a deep breath, you get connected with your heart, with your goodness, with your innocence. And then you breathe into your pain, whether it's pain from the past or the present. My God, if it's something you're imagining in the future, then we let that go. We let that go. But sometimes the body stores pain. Like if we've been a soldier and we've been off to war, we come back and there's pain in our body, suffering in our body. And so can we look at that pain from a place of innocence? From a place of innocence. And just breathe into it. Don't run away. Don't be fearful. Don't be scared. But just breathe into it with love. With an absolute love. Okay, beautiful. So I'm gonna move into the questions. And of course, if anyone has a question, just let me know. And otherwise, I'll get to these emails. Eric writes, Craig, I'd love to come on the retreat with you, but I'm a little bit nervous, a little bit scared about what might come. So Eric, I want you to see this retreat as a gift that you give yourself. It's a time for you to sit intimately with yourself. But retreat isn't a time just to sit in pain. It's a time for you to open, to connect to your beauty, to connect to your innocence, to put your phone down, and simply to let go into the brilliance, the beauty, the innocence of your own nature. And so I don't want you to think of it as work. I don't want you to think of it as something you need to be afraid of. Every retreat I went on, I always walked away feeling 100 times better, so much more alive, so much more connected with my heart, so much more spacious and free. And so this is what retreat is about. And yes, there'll be a time for meeting pain and letting it go, but when you let go, you're letting go into God, you're letting go into your true nature. You're letting go into your own radiance. And you're letting go of something that you don't need to carry. Like so many of us, we walk around carrying like 500 pounds of old pain and karma from the past. It's unnecessary. And so can you let it go and smile? And you just let it go and smile. It's so beautiful. So fear not, Eric. Just come and join us. Come join us. Just bring a big open heart. And the good news is you have that, my friend. You have a beautiful heart. So, okay, here's someone who's struggling with Kundalini energy. Hi, Craig. How is it that this energy has such a tremendous effect on my neurology? It's making my body do strange things, dance a little bit this way and that way. And it's also making me lose my mobility. I've never heard of this before, and it seems all quite strange. And yes, this is one of the things that happens is sometimes when God comes into you fully, the full grace of God, when you're having a huge Kundalini awakening. Sometimes when your body is flooded with grace and energy, your body will temporarily do strange things. So your job is simply to trust, to let go, to breathe. And of course, if you think anything's too strange, then you go see the doctor and see, is something wrong with me? You can do the MRIs, the brain scans, all that kind of stuff. And of course, if there is something, then get yourself checked out and listen to your doctor. But when I had tremendous amounts of Kundalini, unraveling within me and my body was kind of dancing around and making strange kriyas and spontaneous movements. I went to a number of doctors, and I think I just scared them, and then they couldn't figure it out, and then they just kept giving me more and more bills to pay. They said, we don't know what this is, and we're going to give you a bill. And so, but you need to, just to open your heart and just feel. If it's just energy, energy will not kill you. But so many people, they get nervous when this kundalini or when any kind of energy just starts flowing through them. They get nervous. But the people who do the best when the awakening process is the most difficult and the most intense are the ones who trust. Who trust. Who have faith that I'm letting go into God. And so you feel your feet on the floor, you breathe, you relax, you let go. If you need to go lay in the yard, lay in the yard. And just relax. Just relax and breathe. So whether it's mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain, if you're having huge kundalini kriyas, rolling through your body. Sweetie, just relax and breathe and trust. Relax, breathe, and trust. Now, I can say this, when we're having a particularly a difficult spiritual awakening, sometimes if we have something clean up, the one of the chakra centers or all the chakra centers, like if you have deep emotional pain, you need to open to that. You need to meet it with love. You need to help that energy release from your consciousness. And as you do so, everything will start flowing more fluidly within yourself. And so it's actually very, very simple. Very simple. But when the energy comes on quite intensely, a lot of people get freaked out. But the invitation here is, can you trust? Can you trust that God loves me, that I'm not alone? That my life has a purpose, that this intense spiritual journey, that there's a purpose to it. And the purpose is for me to wake up so that I can share my gifts and my beauty in the world. Yes, that's a beautiful question. Okay, here's this one's pretty simple, uncomplicated. This is from Jake. Hi, Craig, my question is about education. School education in particular. What are your thoughts about getting an education, and what do you like to see? What do you like to see in a school? Sometimes I'm wondering about, if it's the right thing for me to go back to school. And so, Jake, this is a question for your heart. So for most of us here on the path, we want to know, what am I supposed to do in a manifest way in this world? What am I supposed to do? And so you need to ask your heart, what is your true vocation? What is your purpose here in this world? And so we're all spiritual beings, and of course everyone wants to wake up to the ultimate truth. But then the great question is how will this truth manifest itself? And so if you're choosing a path of education, if you're choose a school in alignment with your heart. Choose a vocation in alignment with your heart. Find something you're passionate about. And give your life to this. I've had people come to me, and they were in literally the last semester, the last year residency of medical school. They said, "Craig, I don't want to be a doctor. My father said I should, my mother said I should, but I don't want to be a doctor." I said, "Well, what the hell are you doing in med school? Don't go to med school if you don't want to be a doctor. Take charge of your life. Now, of course, I thought, well, maybe you should finish it if you're in your last year and maybe study something different. But he just decided to drop it. And he said he couldn't take it anymore. And so if you listen to your heart from the beginning, That's the path to happiness. And so you have to be willing to be quiet, to be innocent, to let go of all conditioning, cultural conditioning, family conditioning, and simply listen. What's true for you? What's true for you, Jake? And follow that thread. Okay. Beautiful. Okay, here's a question coming in from Italy here, from Vittorio. Craig, I have some questions about my own behavior. I struggle with addiction, especially with cigarettes. How can I find stillness if I struggle with addiction? I've tried many different things. I have no idea how to solve these issues. Every time I try to say no to cigarettes, the thought comes insistently, and in the end, I find myself rolling another one. If I tell myself not to smoke, the thoughts come even faster and stronger. What do you suggest? Yeah, so whether it's being addicted to cigarettes or being addicted to your cell phone, you know, most people on planet Earth have some form of addiction. I mean, it's almost everyone on the planet is addicted to their own thoughts. And so the first thing that we must remember is when we're dealing with addiction, addiction is always about power. At some point on the journey, we gave our power away. Now, for many of us, this happened when we were a child. We gave our power to an adult. And, you know, we never took it back. We gave it to our school teachers. We gave it to... And of course, that's developmentally appropriate when you're a little kid. You know, it's important that you listen to your parents. You know, in theory, they're going to do what's wise for you. But as we grow up and we, you know, if we find ourselves caught up in an addictive substance, I'm going to encourage you not to fight with it. Don't make it a war. Don't make it an internal war. Because that'll just create more and more suffering. And so the way I like to work with addiction is to look inside and ask, what need is being met through the smoking or whatever the addiction is? And so many people report to me, I've never smoked before. And I tried once when I was 14, all my friends smoked, and I thought, this is for the birds. I don't like this. And so, you know, I coughed, and my body said no, and I said, okay, that's the end of it. That was my extent with smoking. But instead of fighting, you know, once you've found yourself in the grips of addiction, instead of fighting with it, I encourage you to go inward and ask, what is it I get from this? And so most people, what they get from cigarettes is they get a time to actually relax and chill out and not think about anything. It's like when people go out and take a smoke break, they're taking a break from life. They're checking out for a moment. They're sitting back and simply reflecting. And my teacher told this wonderful story about his teacher, Jacusho Kwong. He's a great Zen master and lives in Northern California. And so he had someone come to his retreat who was a smoker. And Jacusho, he once smoked, and I think he even struggled with cancer from smoking, but he gave it up, the Zen teacher did. But he saw this, you know, this old man who was out there smoking by himself. And so the Zen master went outside and stood next to him and asked him for a cigarette. And the two of them shared a cigarette and they had this beautiful exchange. But they just sat in this wonderful openness, this incredible love, this radical intimacy. And so it wasn't that, we're supposed to sit on our Zen cushion and just judge, all the smokers or the ones smoking. The Zen master went out and joined him in a place of love, joined him in this place of peace. And so when you look inside, when you look at this addiction and say, what is it that I get from the cigarette? If it's peace, then find another way to give yourself peace. Deepen in your meditation practice, deepen in your yoga practice. Give yourself more time in nature. Let go of the busyness of life. And as you listen to your true need, what happens is you become empowered. But it's a true power that comes forward. And it's through this true power that it becomes easier to let go of the addiction. But you'll never win, just through fighting in your head. None of us will win that battle. And so I encourage you to have faith, Vittorio. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. Your body wants to be healthy and happy. Don't give up on that. So can you see that? Can you see that there's a child here who wants to be healthy and happy? And do anything and everything you can to support yourself in taking good care of this body. A good friend of mine once was really struggling, was addicted to pills and alcohol, and I once he was in tremendous pain and suffering. And I once visited him and he just said, "Can you get me out of here?" And I was in California, I drove him down the coast and we rented a hotel room and I just held his hand for a week as he detoxed. As he went through the shakes, the DTs, the trembling. He was really angry at me and grumpy and a little pissy and this and that. But I just sat with him. We looked out at the ocean together. And I held his hand through the process. And he did the hard work. And so sometimes it's good just to have some support, some love. A good friend who will support you in letting go of these old habits and helping the body to detoxify. Okay, beautiful. Okay. Hi, Craig. This is Ajit from India. I went through your website and found some really meaningful information on awakening. Okay, Ajit, let me see what your question is. After a few days, I had my Kundalini awakening. I started to experience a different dimension. Everything was good. I felt so connected with the source, and everything seemed quite beautiful. Now, a few months later, I'm left with no emotions, low energy, and a feeling as if I'm dead inside. I had a sense of loss of identity as well. Recently, I wake up depressed. Every time in the morning, sometimes with panic attacks, especially about my responsibilities. I have no motivation for a single thing. Okay, beautiful. Sometimes after a very powerful awakening, this energy comes through us and kind of blasts us into a state of cosmic consciousness. And immediately after that, sometimes God propels us into the void. And when we go into the void, we may feel dead, we may feel empty, we may feel depressed. And then there's this funny dance that happens with our inner child is when we go into the void and we feel nothing. And if we have an inner child that's unintegrated, the child begins to feel scared and begins to scream. We start to have panic attacks. And so the first thing, I'm not saying this to scare anyone, but sometimes we find ourselves in very strange states of consciousness. And in this moment, Ajit, I'm going to give you this mantra. And the mantra is, forward to God. You keep walking forward. You trust. You let go. You breathe. Of course, if there's any sense of panic or fear within you, you meet yourself with an absolute love, even if you feel dead inside. And so I want you to imagine being a single father, Ajit. And you have these children that you have to take care of. But you're depressed. You can't feel anything. You have no money. But as a father, you keep going to work. You keep showing up. You keep loving your children. Even if you have no energy, you continue walking forward. This is the truth. Oftentimes, God brings us the void so that our spiritual identity can fall away, so our attachments can fall away. But for many people, it's a very frightening experience. When I walked through this space, it just felt so utterly empty. But I didn't let myself go into depression. I simply walked forward, slow and steady, breathing in and breathing out, and just noticing, oh, this is strange. This is strange. There's nothing here. It's as if nothing ever arose, nothing ever happened. Complete emptiness. I looked down and I saw my feet on the ground. My daughter walked up to me and said, Daddy, I want something to eat. So I said, oh yes, I'm going to feed my daughter. You do what's wise. You do what's practical. You do what's true. Don't compare it to when you had this great Kundalini awakening. Just keep walking forward. And whatever arises within you, meet it with love. Whether it's depression, sadness, anger, panic, you meet it with love. And the void will eventually pass. It's simply a great test. It's a test of faith. Do you know you are God? Do you know you're divine, even if you don't feel anything except emptiness? Will you keep walking forward and let God empty all the past out of your consciousness? That's the purpose of the void, by the way, is to empty everything out of you. Your ego, your spiritual superego, your agendas, your philosophies, your thoughts about this and that. And so your job is to meet it all with love, even if you cannot feel any love. One of the definitions of enlightenment is it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. It matters what you do. You do what's true. And so you walk forward in this grace. And of course, it may not feel like grace to you, Ajit. Of course, it's helpful to have a teacher when you go through something intense like this. And so I always recommend reaching out and getting some support. A little bit of positive feedback goes a long way. So thank you all again. I realize the hour's up and I apologize if I didn't get to all the questions. Thank you all so much for joining me. This webcast is supported by donation. If you feel inspired, it's greatly appreciated. can visit craigholiday.com if you would like to offer a donation. But most of all, I'd like to thank you all for joining me and sharing your hearts, your beauty, your goodness with me. I feel so blessed to be in your company. Much love to you all. May peace, light, and love be with you all.